Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Excuse me. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2020. And how is are all my friends doing with the stay-at-home quarantine order? Well, here in Missouri, they're talking about maybe extending it a little bit into the month of May. There are a lot of restless neighbors, including myself, that just want things to start to return to normalcy. I understand the social distancing. I understand the not going to restaurants and public events. All of this is important to stop and halt the progress of this virus. But we're human. And we want things to start to get back to normal. And we want things to begin to be the same again. Now, of course, we've learned a lot from this virus, and there may be many changes we have to make. But still, we're human, and things just need to return to some normalcy. This morning on the broadcast, I want to talk to you about my dear Christian friend, Mary Mohammadi. And if you've been following me on Facebook, you know all about Mary's story. It was back on February 27th that she was released from Karchak prison. I believe part of it had to do with the spread of the coronavirus. And as she was released, I began to talk and speak with her again on Telegram and on WhatsApp and got to be reacquainted with her. And to make a long story short, she informed me that she had a court date on March 2nd to answer to the charges of being a participant in an illegal rally on January 12th in Iran, when there were protesters that stood up against the government for shooting down the Ukrainian jetliner. And so I said, well, Mary, I'm praying for you. We're all praying for you. Let us know what happens. On the day of her court, she messaged me once again on Telegram and said, my case has been postponed. The judge has coronavirus. Well, I was very happy her case had been postponed, but we knew, all of us knew, that she had to go back to court. And so she said later on that her next court date was Tuesday, April 14th. Well, Mary has her own prayer page praying for Mary Mohammadi. And we have been very anxious to find out what is going to happen. And so we've been posting things and praying for her and sending out messages. Many of the members, over 288, have been fervently praying for Mary. Well, her court date came and went this week on Tuesday, April 14th. And this is what happened based on some articles from Article 18 and from HRANA News Agency. Mary goes back to court to face her judge. And the judge really doesn't have any evidence that Mary was a participant in this illegal rally in Tehran on January 12th at Azadi Square. And of course, she's represented by her lawyers there. And the judge says, well, look, you were in the vicinity of when this protest took place, so that's enough evidence that you were a participant. And of course, Mary is making her case in this article that that's not true. She was in the area, but that doesn't mean she was participating in it. Well, the judge then begins to question her about her Christianity. And he said, your real name is Fatima, an Islamic name, but you are known by the name of Mary now. And that's true. Mary changed her name to Fatima from Fatima Mohammadi to Mary Mohammadi. She didn't want that name anymore because she's a Christian. And then he said, have you converted your religion and you do not accept Islam? He begins to quiz her. Do you know that Christianity has many gaps and that the path it has chosen is wrong? Another question to Mary, are your family aware of you converting your religion? And do they have a problem with this? Well, of course, all of these questions have absolutely nothing to do with the charge against her about participating in an illegal rally. But notice what's going on here. The judge is trying to get her to answer all of these questions because he wants to charge her now with converting from Islam to Christianity. He knows he really doesn't have any evidence for her participating in the rally, so he's going to charge her then about being a Christian. And of course, Mary didn't answer these questions on the advice of her lawyer. And at the end of the day, the judge says, well, I will let you know what my verdict is. And Mary was allowed to go home, and we're thankful for that. But notice what's going on here. The real reason this judge is asking these questions is because of her Christian faith. It was 3 years ago when Mary was 17 that she converted from Islam to Christianity. And it was just shortly after that that she was put in prison for 6 months in Evin prison. And she was harassed and psychologically tortured. And finally, when she was allowed to leave, I remember Mary telling me this on the occasion of her leaving prison. One of the guards says, you'll be back and you'll never get out ever again. Mary, after that, began a website on Instagram speaking up for religious freedom in Iran. And from time to time, she would send me texts translated from Farsi to English to correct those texts to make sure they were accurate. And she had a little ministry on Instagram speaking up for religious freedom in Iran. It was right before her arrest on January 12th that she was tweeting, supporting Christians in Iran, tweeting and supporting them. And so there is the usual attempt by the government of Iran to do everything they can to stop Muslims from becoming Christians. And this is the case with Mary. There's no evidence she participated in this rally. And so the judge is trying to pursue her Christian faith and charge her on that. Harassment, discrimination. The government of Iran fears the Christians. They don't want Muslims finding the truth. They don't want Muslims following the truth. And the case with Mary is they're pursuing her once again because she converted from Islam to Christianity. She certainly needs our prayers because the judge made a decision. Look, I will get back to you. I haven't decided on what the verdict is yet. So what that does is it puts Mary in a very dangerous position as she once again waits to see what's going to happen next. When are they going to call her back to court? What will the judge decide? It is very dangerous for Christians in Iran. So please continue praying for Mary. Please continue speaking to God on her behalf. She simply wants to have religious freedom. That's all she wants. She wants religious freedom for everyone in Iran. And she's fighting day and night. She is a brave, brave Christian girl, and she has said, I will go back to prison if necessary to stand up for the rights of Christians in Iran. She has said that to me. that it's my duty. She really believes that in order to be a good representative of her friends and her people, if she has to go back to prison, she will, in order to be a representative for them as well and to suffer along with them. So please continue to pray for Mary as she fights and struggles for religious freedom in Iran. Now, I've also posted on my page several times stories about Nazanin Ratcliffe that was supposed to receive clemency. She has been a prisoner of Iran for over 4 years now. She was arrested in Easter 2016 and accused of being a spy. Now, just recently, because of the coronavirus, she was let out temporarily from prison in Evin prison, but she has to wear a leg brace to monitor her. So she has been out. And there was talk that there was going to be clemency, that possibly after 4 years, Nazanin could finally go back home. Well, this still is one of those situations where the Iranian government seems to sound like they're going to do something positive, and they don't. Nazanin's father spoke to the prosecutor's office and was told to come back this Saturday, April 18th, to check on whether her furlough will be extended again. Separately, Nazanin's lawyers confirmed that she is not on today's list of approved clemencies, though one of her former cellmates is. Her lawyer will follow up midweek on the clemency decision, well ahead of Saturday's furlough deadline. Once again, they're playing games with Nazanin Ratcliffe. It seems like they're going to promise her freedom, and then they stop short of it. So please continue to pray for Nazanin. Her husband Richard and her daughter are waiting anxiously in the UK. Some good news for other Christians in Iran. Iranian Christian convert Fatima Bakhtari has been told that she does not need to return to prison to complete her sentence. She's 36 years old, and she is the third convert in the past few weeks to receive such news. Now, Fatima was initially given temporary leave from Tehran's Evin prison on 15th of March as one of tens of thousands of prisoners giving furlough due to the coronavirus outbreak. Earlier this month, she was told that her leave was to be extended. However, when she called the prison on Easter Day, she was informed that she had in fact been pardoned as one of the 10,000 prisoners freed on the occasion of the Persian New Year, or Nowruz. And so she was told that she did not need to return to prison. And that is good news for Fatima Bakhtari, that she has been freed from prison as part of this Persian New Year Nowruz agreement where some prisoners are released. So good news for this Iranian convert, Fatima Bakhtari. She is free. Well, she's really not free living in Iran, but at least she's out of prison where it's so dangerous, where there is so much sickness from the coronavirus. Now, again, the virus situation is deplorable in Iran. Iranian nurses continue to die on the front lines in their fight against the coronavirus. The last count, the official count of deaths in Tehran, is around 5,000, although the MEC organization headed by Miriam Rajavi reports it's 24,000. There has been 76,389 infections. 49,000 of those infections have recovered, but the death toll is rather high, 5,000, and that's a conservative estimate. The regime has failed to provide the appropriate financial support to the hospitals in Iran. It has failed to provide even basic personal protective equipment and disinfectants. And these failures have left Iranian doctors, nurses, and other medical personnel defenseless in the face of the deadly virus. And so the nurses and doctors in the front line are fighting the best way they know how. They're not given the adequate medicine, the protective personal equipment, the masks, the gowns, the goggles, the shields, and they're very susceptible to get the virus. And so once again, this government is killing their own people. They have no disinfectants, no white alcohol, no sanitizing gels. They're all scarce. And when these items are available, they're being sold at greatly inflated prices. It's just horrible, the situation that's going on in Iran, according to the coronavirus outbreak. It's at times like this, when we face fears, difficulties, and trials, that the Psalms have always been a source of great comfort to me. I've taught on Psalm 91 here on the radio program and on my podcast. And I want to talk a little bit today about another beautiful psalm that speaks to our hearts when we're hurting, when we're afraid, when we're suffering. And it's Psalm 27. Let's listen to the words of David and let these words sink into your spirit and bring hope and healing to you. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. Listen to the cries of David. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I believe, verse 13, that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David cries out, you, God, you're my light. You're my truth. You're my salvation. Who should I fear? I have everything I need in you, God. You're the stronghold of my life. Who shall I be afraid of? There's no one to fear except you alone, Lord, because you are my rock, you are my light, you are my salvation. And though all of my enemies come against me, I am confident that you will hide me in your shelter. In the day of trouble, you will conceal me under the cover of your tent. You will lift me high upon the rock. David, in his circumstances of fear and despair, looks to the Lord, and he is immediately aware of his presence, of his beauty, and he says confidently, you're my light and salvation. I fear no one. In a crisis like what we are going through, the Psalms are a bedrock of comfort. They are praise to God in the good times. They are anguish and lament in the difficult times. And it reveals our hearts. These may be your very thoughts and emotions too as you go through this virus outbreak. But know this, that God says, I'm going to hide you in my shelter in the day of trouble. I'm going to cover you in the safety of my tent. I'm going to lift you high upon a rock. God is with us. He will never leave or forsake you. I want you to hear this song right now from Christian Stanfill based on Psalm 27, One Thing Remains.
One this one thing remains, this one thing remains, your love never fails, never gives up.
Christian artist Christian Stanfill singing of the faithfulness of God, the irresistible love of God who pursues us because he loves us. It reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe, where God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's speaking of Israel, his chosen there, but I believe the secondary application, the principle is, he speaks it about us, his chosen. And that's the one thing that remains. His love never gives up on us. His love never fails. And that's something we have to never forget. In the midst of this crisis, some of us may say, God, I don't understand this virus. So many people are dying. They're perishing. Why? I don't understand what is going on. What are you doing? Why is this happening? We may not be able to understand all of the ways of God. In fact, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we know one thing is for sure. God's love doesn't change. His affection for his people doesn't change. This virus is testing us. It's God speaking to us. He's reminding us of our mortality, of our humanness. He's showing us what is most important, what we need to prioritize. When we are huddled together in our homes, no sports activities, no gatherings, it forces us to make some real hard choices and decisions. And in one way, it's like God is saying to all of us, here's what's most important in your life. Not necessarily your money, your career, your entertainment, but what's most important is your family and me. And if we don't know Jesus, during this coronavirus, he's speaking to us. For those that don't have an intimate personal relationship with him, it's time to know him. Because the Bible says our life is but a vapor. And it's reminding those that are not connected to Christ, those that are not believers, this is a good time to cry out to me and to come to me. We may not be able to understand all of God's purposes, but one thing is for sure, he's speaking to us. For those of us who belong to him as the church, this is a time for us to shine and to be ambassadors of the gospel like never before. The harvest is plenty. The spiritual hunger is very plenty now. There may be people that are struggling and hurting during this time, and you've never talked to them about Jesus. And now is the time. Now is the time to come to Christ. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so while I believe that one day soon this virus will probably disappear and things may return to normal, none of us are going to be the same. Hopefully all of us have been changed and transformed by this difficult time in our lives. It helps us to reevaluate our lives, to think deeply and personal about what's most important. It's a time to reflect on what life is all about. So take the words of Psalm 27, think about them, meditate on them. Use this time to really strengthen your fellowship and relationship with the Lord. I know that's what I've been doing. Even though I work at the hospital and I'm preoccupied as a healthcare worker of the virus all around me, this has caused me to reflect on what's most important, on my priorities, on my Christian walk. And so today, on the cross in the desert, we've had an update on Mary. Please continue to pray for this brave Christian girl. She's fighting for freedom in Iran, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. She's very brave and courageous. I will keep us updated here. Pray for the people of Iran as they suffer through this virus. Pray for Nazanin Ratcliffe that she will indeed one day go home to her husband and child. And please, please take the time and to reevaluate your walk with the Lord at this time. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.